Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy T.T. Thomas back at the helm, holding down the round table. I'm going to warn you, 60 minutes and counting in the kitchen. I am not going overtime. I have a date with Destiny at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
Break up. Now every day I wake up, somebody got a problem with hoes. What's up, y'all niggas all fed up, cause I got a little cheddar and my record's moving out the store. Young fuck spitting at me, young rappers getting at me. My nigga Big predicted this shit exactly. More money, more problems, gotta move carefully. Cause faggot hate when you getting money like athletes. Young as ice grilling me, oh, you not feeling me? Fine, it cost you nothing, pay me no mind. I'm on my grind, cousin. Ain't got time for frontin'. Sensitive thugs, y'all all need hugs. Damn, little mans, I'm just trying to do me. If the record's 2 mil, I'm just trying to move 3. Get a couple chicks, get them to try to do E. Hopefully, they're Menards before I reach my garage. I don't want much, fuck, I drove every car. Some nice cooked food, some nice clean drugs. Bird ass niggas, I don't mean to ruffle y'all. I know you waiting in the wing, but I'm doing my thing. Where's the love?
Caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And the date with Destiny that I have is me living right here in the tri-state area. That's right, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey. My boys play the Knicks, so I got to go to a Knick party. That's right. Well, I'm the only Thunder fan they know out here, so I got to set it off right out here. And what wouldn't be better if I didn't do the show with my big brother, another Knicks fan, Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good.
And that's good, because I need that type of response, because I don't like you right now. For the next 3 hours, I don't like you, okay? So that's cool with me. Cool with me, Chandler, okay? So We do have a caller in queue, calling in from Georgia. We have Matthew in the building. Matthew, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing pretty good, fellas. How y'all been?
Doing all right. You okay, man? You sound like you lost your dog.
Well, you mean to use some of my data to retrieve the number? I guess I need to save it.
Wait. Can you repeat that again, please? You're speaking mighty low.
Oh, I apologize. I forgot the number to the show because it's been a couple weeks, but I've missed the conversations.
Okay. So we'll have at it. And the first thing I want to jump into now, I got a lot of people. I'm gonna try to squeeze a lot into an hour, but here goes. Taylor, I won't give you the first dish that you want, but I'm gonna make it the second dish. But the first dish I'm gonna jump into. We were just on the show yesterday at the Crossover Cafe. And on closure of the show, I went to every last chef in the building and said, who do you like in this matchup and why? The visiting defending champions, the Golden State Warriors, or the Los Angeles Clippers at home in the Staples Center? And Chandler, Royce, and Nosh all went with Golden State. I was the only one that went out there on the limb and said, you know what? I'm going with the Clippers by myself. I was on the limb by myself. So in the heat of watching that game, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, Chris Paul is on fire. He can't miss. He's 7-for-7. They're off to a good start, and they're up 20. I'm like, I want to see how this looks in the middle of the third quarter. And it really didn't look like Golden State was making it past like the 13 or 15 point lead, so I turned away from it. We started doing some other things, and then I get a message from this guy that I'm speaking to right now and the other co-host of the Crossover Cafe, Royce King, at the same doggone time. And what does the message say from both of them at the same time? At the same time, I don't even know if they were talking to each other, but they said the same exact thing at the same time. Ty, are you watching this game? Steph Curry. I said, no way in hell. No way in hell, right? So I turned to the game and watched Steph bring this team back and knock off the Clippers. Now, one, I don't know. I don't even want to allude to how I feel. I'm going to tell how I feel after I get everybody into this situation. Chandler, your thoughts on the game? Of course, you picked the right team, but watching the turnaround in that game, I mean, your thoughts on that comeback?
Well, it wasn't Steph Curry who brought them back. It was Harrison Barnes. Let's get that right. Because it was Harrison Barnes who brought them back the last time they came back from a double-digit deficit against the Clippers. He doesn't get the any of the pub that he should get. But Harrison Barnes, in the first game that they came back on him at Oracle, he scored 10 straight points. Last night, he scored 8 straight points. And he started the comeback. I'm not surprised. The Clippers are a mentally weak team. That's why they choked away their series against Houston last season. Doc Rivers, he insists on trying to match up instead of playing to his strength. Blake Griffin, at one point or another, you might want to decide to get a post game. That's not trying to prove you can shoot from the outside. And you more than just a dunker. Get your puck behind in the post and punish Draymond Green, who you should be able to abuse him in the post. And Blake Griffin's posting up 30 feet away from the doggone basket, and they can't figure why he can't get through a double team. I'm not surprised they won. The Clippers are mentally weak, and one of the things that I said to Ty last night, Harrison Barnes is that team's MVP because they don't have an answer for Harrison Barnes off the Clippers bench. They don't have an answer for him. You had Azeeley come in last night. I mean, sure, Livingston didn't even play last night because I think he's injured. And the Clippers were up 23 points, man. How do you lose a 23-point lead? This is all about the Clippers being mentally weak. And Harrison Barnes, just like he did the last game, brought the Warriors with their striking distance. And then from there, Steph Curry took over. And Klay Thompson finally showed up because I was getting ready to ask you, Josh, should we put out an APB or a missing persons report on Klay Thompson? Because he hasn't shown up at all this season. And they're still undefeated. Think about that. They're not really – some of the guys aren't even playing well, and they're still undefeated. But I'm not surprised they won. I expected them to win even when I saw it was a double-digit deficit. I never thought the Warriors were going to lose that game, which I think speaks more to just how terrible the Clippers are than it does to how great the Warriors are.
Taylor, I agree with you 100%. That goes to show, I don't know whether I say mentally weak or just not totally driven or just lack of heart. Like I don't know what word or phrase to use with the Los Angeles Clippers. They're at home. The aura of the crowd is on their side. Everybody is scoring the ball. The only one that was playing probably questionable, I can't even say questionable, was Paul Pierce because he was in foul trouble. He couldn't stay on the floor. He was up there picking up fouls. Everybody else was doing their thing. But here goes the situation I look at mentally weak, and I'll come to Matt after this. Like, with the lead that they have, they are out there settling for jump shots. I agree with Chandler. You got Blake Griffin shooting jump shots. Go ahead. You're 6. Listen to this one, people. Hold on. I hope you people know his attributes or what he brings to the game. Blake is 6'9", people. He's 6'9". He don't look that tall, but he is. But he's 265 and jacked. I call him the 2015 Karl Malone, but everybody remember how big Karl Malone was. That's how Blake looks. And you mean to tell me, Blake, you're going to settle with, taking a jump shot a foot in from the three-point line? Everybody and their mother will let that. I'd rather lose like that. Hey, if Blake is knocking down jump shots, then fine. If Blake is coming to the rim, we got an issue. Like I don't want him prancing to the lane and can't none of them jump with him, let alone he's big as a beast. So, like, who wants to bang with him? You're shooting jump shots, that's fine. Chris Paul running straight across the half-court line, shooting three-point shots, and not moving the ball, Chris Paul. Everybody knows you're the point guard. You are the ball mover. Like what happened to that? I'm questioning that. And DeAndre, they give you a ton of money to play defense and rebound and bring other things to the game. You mean to tell me you still are missing free throws? Like, that is acceptable. That is acceptable. Like I don't understand this. Look, they have shooting coaches. I know some of these players actually pay for them. From anywhere to $50,000 to $75,000, I guess, whatever, you know, practice they go through to pay these guys to shoot better. Not, you know, and not like I wanted the other instead of being shoot jump shots, just to shoot free throws. This is disgusting. This is disgusting that is acceptable, that you can come on the floor and be terrible at the line. Like enough is enough year after year that you look like that. That's disgusting. That is totally disgusting. But lack of defensive prowess, like you guys had them figured out all first half. You had Draymond come up with an interesting speech and saying they're not feeling us and let's move the ball and play our type of basketball on offense and then make them work on their offensive end. It worked. That worked. So for you guys to be up 23 on a team that's undefeated and not keep your foot on their foot, it's unheard of. Like I would not let these guys up at all. And beside me pointing fingers at everybody that I just did on that team, Doc Rivers, I am shaking my head. That's all I got to say. I'm shaking my head. For a coach that he has an NBA championship under his belt, for you to let this happen, for you to watch things happen in front of you and you not make a change at the right time, I'm shaking my head. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. Now watch. Everybody else they play within the Western Conference, they're going to play dominant basketball. The Clippers are going to look like a juggernaut, but they cannot figure out the Golden State Warriors, who have, 13 wins in the season, two of which already are against the Los Angeles Clippers. Man, I'm going to come to you on this one, and then I'll open it back up. Your thoughts on the game last night, a 23-point comeback for the Golden State Warriors.
Well, I tuned in late in the fourth. The Clippers were winning by probably about 8 or 10. I myself did not think Golden State was going to be able to do it, but they just keep coming. Give credit to Steph Curry. Give credit to the MVP of the NBA Finals last year, Andre. Give credit to Luke Walton, and also take credit away from the Clippers because they choked. They gag as usual. The announcers were commenting that there was more Golden State fans in Clippers Stadium. It looks like the Dub Nation has taken over the entire state of California. That was an incredible comeback they made. Expect them to keep winning. I don't know how many in a row they can get, but they might break the record, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. We should probably look that up.
Okay. Chandler, anything that you'd like to say before we get moving?
No, and the record is 15 in a row.
To start the season off is 15 in a row, right?
Yeah, to start the season off.
Because the winning streak, I think, is like 20. I think the winning streak is like 27. I think, what was it, the Rockets and then the Cavaliers threatened it, too. Not the Cavaliers, excuse me, the Miami Heat threatened it with LeBron and LeBron, Wade, and Bosh as well. Okay, we do have Nacho here. Nacho, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay, anything that you'd like to add to that before we get away from it?
Sorry, just, people were talking in the background. Let me get away. Yeah, nothing really. Everyone kind of hit the nail on the head with pretty much everything. It really is going to be. I think Chandler, made the biggest point of all is they're winning and not everyone on the team, and the Warriors, that is playing, their best A game. So it looks phenomenal from this point to be undefeated and you're not getting the A game from, one half of the Splash Brothers and you're not getting an A game from consistently from everyone. So, in parts of the game, Steph is clicking, and it's just amazing to watch a team just be able to overcome, and they're not overcoming, tragedies or, drastic things, but they're just overcoming the little things in games that in most situations, ordinary teams would lose the game. And it looks like this championship team, is on a war path. Looks, almost more hungry than the team they played. Yeah.
Okay. Well, not to pull too much away from the Warriors, they have a home game tonight. They are in their beds in Golden State, a.k.a. Oakland, playing up against the Eastern Conference leading. That's right. I buckle up, people. The Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls lead the Eastern Conference, and they are playing without Derrick Rose. I mean, stop me if you haven't heard this before. If you haven't heard this before, stop me. But they're playing up against Derrick Rose and company. But to make this interesting, Jimmy Butler wants the matchup responsibility to defend Steph Curry all night long. Now, I don't know if that's smart, especially with D. Rose being out, especially being in Oakland at the Oracle. Matt, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this matchup? Of course, it favors Golden State. I know that. But do you think it's smart that they go with one of their marquee players in Butler trying to corral Steph Curry?
Well, from what I noticed, Golden State sets a lot of screens. So it almost doesn't matter who starts out on Curry, it's who finishes. And unless the Chicago Bulls are ready to switch, and that means communication constantly, which no team has really been able to do in the first 13 games, then I don't see Jimmy Butler or any Chicago Bull being able to stop Steph Curry tonight. And I don't, for the foreseeable future, I don't see anyone stopping him the way he strokes the ball. I don't think I've ever seen since. You got to go back to Reggie Miller for someone that's that accurate at three-pointers. So I don't think – I think Jimmy Butler is a little bit out of – it's too tall of a task for him. It's out of his league, and I think Curry will still get 30 tonight, and I think Golden State will get number 14.
Okay. Chandler, your thoughts on this matchup? Do you think it's smart that Butler wants this to happen? And do you think the Bulls have a shot on a back-to-back night for the Golden State Warriors?
Well, who beat Golden State at the Oracle last season? Who was one of the teams that beat them?
Chicago Bulls.
There you go. So, you know what? The only thing I don't like about it is Jimmy Butler needs to shut up. He just needs to shut up because he really hasn't done anything to run his mouth as much as he has. Just shut up and play. We know you're going to guard Steph Curry predominantly because you're the best defender on the team, you and Joakim Noah. So shut up and play. Just shut up and play. Yeah, and all the rest of it is not necessary, but I give the Bulls a great shot to beat them. If anybody's going to beat them before they get the record, it'll be Chicago.
Okay, Nacho, anything that you'd like to add to this? Your thoughts on this matchup? Do you think that Butler can actually put a halt to this start that the Warriors are on to right now?
Not much to add. I really do think that Steph Curry and his team can take what the Bulls can dish at him. So I'm just going to go with Steph Curry and the Warriors tonight. The Bulls, I think with Derrick Rose, it might be a tougher test the way he had been playing. But I just don't, you know, the way that the combo of him and Butler had been playing, I think it would have been a tougher test for the Warriors. But, you know, I'm definitely going to go with the Warriors in this one. I just don't think Butler – all game can take him, and I think Matt hit on it too. It's not who starts, it's who finishes, especially when they do those screens and pick plays and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how Butler, you know, reacts to that if they switch or if he sticks on him. It's going to be tough. So I don't think he can stop or slow it on Steph, even if he's able to stick him for 48.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I still got a ton of topics to go through. I do have one controversial one that I kind of have set for Chandler. But I know we were actually talking about the situation, Chandler, and this is in reference to what's going on in the capital of California with the Sacramento Kings. Now, we've actually talked about it, especially you, Nostradamus, and how you don't believe in George Karl, and how he should not be the coach in Sacramento. Well, they are already making talk or whispers about getting rid of him and bringing in the NBA's first female head coach in Nancy Lieberman-Klein. Now, one, I feel a certain way to a lot of the coaches that have been in the league that have paid their dues that could probably go there and make change. But two, they're only using her as a stand-in for the remainder of the season if this does happen, because they're looking to get Coach John Calipari out of Kentucky. Like, he's not content with his job down there with All-American after All-American after All-American after All-American coming through that revolving door. Why would he put the pressure on himself to go to Sacramento to turn around a team that's in the basement? I won't call them questionable because they have a lot of talent there, including the Wildcats that he coached previously. But the situation that's going on right now, or at least for the foreseeable future for the Sacramento Kings.
You talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't hear you say. Well, one thing is it would be less pressure for Calipari. The governor of the state of Kentucky doesn't have as much scrutiny as John Calipari does, first of all. And it was something that Calipari said the other day that I found interesting, and I'd never heard him say it before at any of the places he'd ever coached. When they were talking about his team and they had won a game, and he was like, yeah, but as soon as we lose to whoever, they didn't want to talk about how terrible we are. We got to get out of here. He said, you just don't understand. It never ends. And he sounded like a guy that was fed up with just the nonsense of being the head coach of Kentucky. And I'd never heard him say that before. And it was the way he said it. And I don't think people paid attention. If you can probably catch it because it's on ESPN, so it's definitely clicked on ESPN somewhere. But just listen, if you find it, listen to how he says it. It was just resigned to the fact that no matter what he did, it was never going to be good enough. So I think Calipari might be looking for an exit, to be quite honest with you. Now, let me get to just to how insulting and ridiculous this is. First of all, the NBA should remove the owner of the Sacramento Kings. He should remove that owner. Because, and this is why I can't stand the NBA. Now, you screwed the people of Sacramento and forced them to give you a taxpayer-funded new arena. Okay? So people got to pay more money out of their pocket in taxes. So this billionaire didn't have to pay for a new arena. Okay? He built the team like he's playing fantasy basketball, just got a bunch of names, and then brought in a named head coach in George Karl. When anybody would have a brain could have told him this science experiment would not work. Now on top of that, you're going to insult. And so here's my thing with Nancy Lieberman. Has been around the NBA a long time. She's paid her dues, okay? She paid her dues for the past 40 years. She paid her dues and trying to get a job in the NBA. So her getting a job, it's not some slap in the face of some male coach because, Nancy Lieberman Klein has been paying her dues in professional basketball long before some of these coaches that some guys would name to say they should have a job or even picked up a basketball, okay? She's a pioneer, not only for women, but for any basketball player and a lot of the things that she's done. So she's earned this shot. But the fact that it would just be interim, so she's good enough to be a stopgap, but she's not good enough to be the permanent coach, she should laugh in their face if they offered to her. Because the first woman to get a job, it shouldn't be an interim job. You either give her the job because you want her to have it, or you let one of these moron assistants that George Karl brought in be the interim since you're so in love with John Calipari. This is just, it's just wrong on every freaking level. Oh, and by the way, this was leaked out by the organization. This was a trial balloon to see how the fans would react to it. And I'm guessing the reaction is kind of positive because the fans are already sick of George Karl there. They're already sick of him. Okay, and he's trying to decide. They're trying to decide who they're going to stick with, Karl or DeMarcus Cousins. So they floated a trial balloon to see which way the wind is blowing. This is just wrong on every freaking level. It's just wrong.
Okay, Matt, your thoughts on the situation out there in Sacramento? I mean, do you agree with Chandler that you know Nancy is, you know, she has been a name and I can't just say a name, a mainstay person in the NBA. But, you know, I still look at some guys that are along some of these sidelines that haven't even been given the opportunity. That's right. I'm being biased. You know, I'm looking at Pat, and they won't give Pat a doggone job other than being an assistant coach. But I guess they're already looking to give Nancy that spot. And this is like a shoe-in for now until the upcoming season so they can entice Calipari to come from Kentucky and turn things around with some of these Kentucky Wildcats already a part of the Sacramento Kings team. Your thoughts?
To be honest, I hadn't heard the depth of the story yet. I might have to research it a little bit. But as far as Calipari, I really don't see him leaving Kentucky anytime soon. He's got it too good there. Like Chandler said, he's very powerful in that state. He's pretty much bigger than, you know, the governor. I mean, he's got so much power there. I don't see him leaving. The money's too good. The players, the talent's too good. Getting out five NBA, you know, first-round picks each year. As far as Nancy Lieberman, I wish her the best. Like I said, I just would have to do some research myself to learn about her. I wasn't aware of what's going on.
Nacho, your thoughts on this situation? We do have callers behind you as well. The kitchen is filling up.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome. Just real quick on the whole situation, I have to agree with Chandler. The leaking of it by the team was something that I felt was it's already sketchy. You know, Chandler and I agree on that more often than not. The fact that a team in any organization on any platform, if your team or your organization or wherever leaks something about itself, it's never good. So I just don't like it. The fact that this seems more to as a dollar bill sign type of thing, where let's just try to bring in the most butts to the seats this year and then try to entice a very, very, highly sought after coach in Calipari or someone like that to come coach. But it's just so wrong. And it doesn't have to be a woman or anything. Just to put someone like this who is deserving of it, something as of this groundbreaking for a sport as a head coach, even though interim being a woman would be doing it with, you know, an end date in mind, with a significant, you know, end date where there is no, let's see if she can actually coach. It sickens me to my stomach that they would even just do this. It's wrong on every level. So I got to agree with Chandler and, you know, just the organization to leak stuff about itself. It says all we need to say about an organization.
Sports City, welcome in. Aaron, welcome to the roundtable. How are you this afternoon, this evening? Excuse me.
Yo, I'm good, man. It's fun to be back in the building.
Oh, you okay, man? Everything all right?
Yeah, a little under the weather.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to lift your spirits up somehow. But your thoughts on what's going on today? Yes,
real
sir.
Quick, sorry, before you get into that, Mr. Simmons, congratulations on your promotion, my man. Awesome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you can go ahead.
Okay. Aaron, your thoughts on the situation in Sacramento?
You know, man, I popped in at the tail end, you know, and I happen to agree with what, you know, Chandler and both Nacho both said about it. Again, for the sake of time, I'm not going to rehash it. Something smells fishy, so I'm
going to
leave it at that.
I'm wondering about Jordan Carr, but we did talk about this last night. I do have Nas in the building. Nas, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. What up?
Not too much now. You were just here last night, and we just spoke on this situation, and it wasn't even a hot dish. It wasn't a hot dish. This is something that we put together recipe-wise by the chef. I know y'all out there listening. I was talking to Chandler before the show. I know y'all out there listening because now it is making the wavelengths across the board. But your thoughts on where George Carl ends up in the next couple of months? If Nancy Lieberman should be the coach running the show? Do you think there's another name that should be there? And do you think John Calipari will end up leaving Kentucky to come coach their team out in Sacramento?
No way on Coach Cal. What does he have to gain? He loses a lot if he goes there as far as the risk. And then all the power he has in Kentucky, would he get that same type of power and control in Sacto? Probably not. So why would he take it? I think the only way he ever leaves Kentucky is if you have to really give him the whole deal. Like, he has to have GM say, talent picking say, and, you know, coaching duty. So, yeah, no way I could see him leaving UK. And this would be nice to bump him up a little bit again.
Your thoughts on Nancy Lieberman-Klein, though, and what does this say about George Karl?
George Karl is horrible, man. I missed earlier, but if Chandler spoke on George Karl, I'll second that because I'm in a about that dude's character. So I know what was said, similar, you know what I mean? Somewhat, I know what was said. And, yeah, I'm in that camp. I've been against Karl for a long time.
Okay, fair enough. Anybody else have anything else to say? And Chandler, you got people reading your mind already. This is good. Not only do you got a fan club, you got people reading your mind, Chandler.
No, it's just, I mean, like I said, man, this Nancy Lieberman, whatever woman gets a head coaching job, it should not be an expiration date. It should not come with an expiration date. If the NBA allows this, man, listen, then I'm done. I don't mean that seriously. I'm done. If they allow this to happen, I'm done. Because you're just taking advantage and making a mockery of all the hard work that a lot of these women, basketball players and coaches have gone through, the things they've had to put up with. You know, you're making a mockery of the Pat Summits of the world and their struggle to get people to look at them, not just as women coaches, just as coaches, period. Nowadays, you see, you know, be it Dawn Staley or Cedric Stringer or whoever it is, and you just KL before she passed, whoever it is, and you just see that sort of them as coaches. And what this does is it sets them back, and it's just, it's wrong. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And now, even though I would get my wish and George Karl be fired, not this way. It can't happen this way.
And real quick, does this mean that, like, the team, because the team still has to play games to the end of the year. So if they start winning with her, if this happens, you know, if's a big thing, but if this happens and they start winning, are they going to allow that? Are we going to see this team totally trade away almost everything except for Cousins and try to stockpile picks and lose so that entices a big name saying, you know, you're going to have all these picks and yada, yada, yada? Because what happens to this team for the rest of the year if you bring in a coach like this that purely is for money and just to bring in someone else?
That's the question. Because you're right. What happens if she's winning? Do the team then sabotage her so they can get rid of her?
I basically don't know. I think it's more or less of a situation where they're going to give her a shot to get this turned around. If she gets it turned around, I think this actually sets her up for a situation to get a coaching position somewhere in the NBA. I don't think that she is a mainstay in Sacramento. Just like you said, I think this is a time expiration situation for the coach that they want. But if they can't get Coach Calipari there, I mean, do they stay with her? Do they stay with her is the bigger question. And the ultimate situation is, why did George Karl go from Denver, win Coach of the Year, lose first round, come to Sacramento, try to get rid of Boogie Cousins, then Boogie Cousins, you know, elbows Al Horford in the face, so you could already tell that he doesn't have control of Boogie right now, and they're already looking to get rid of him? Where there's smoke, there is fire. I think there is fire, and then I'm hoping, or I don't want to look to, I don't want to say I'm hoping, I don't want to look to seeing him get burned in the same light or the same situation, and then that be Coach Karl. I mean, he fought as much as he could health-wise to get back. Okay. I do have a couple of football situations. I did want to get one out there to Chandler about J.R. Smith. I just got wind of this situation, and we were talking about domestic violence. J.R. Smith, I cannot believe you. I'm completely shaking my head. I don't even think I'll get to it, but I just want to let people know, a teenager. Like, come on, man. You got millions. Why be up on a kid? Well, okay, but hey, let me get away from it. I wanted to see how you guys felt about an interesting matchup because I know I got my football guys here, including my big brother, the Welsh Dragon, calling in from across the pond in Wales, Mr. Jones, a.k.a. Rodri. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Ah, thanks, man. Doing pretty good. Yeah, just listening to the show. You know me, guys. I'm always learning about the game of basketball, NBA, and baseball, and just great listening to you guys. I just wanted to say that we had a. I don't know if you guys are familiar with rugby. Jonah Lomu, All Black wing, just a tremendous athlete. Suffered, you know, all during his adult life with kidney problems, and you know, he sadly passed away this week. Jonah Lomu. If he was fit, he was looking at coming into the NFL. I mean, this guy, you know, he's sort of the Nigerian nightmare times two. He was that powerful of a runner. I mean, just go on YouTube if you've never seen him. Some people close to me mentored him. Good friends of my family and my friends, and they, you know, brought him to our area here in South Wales, you know, where he played a bit of rugby. And he was just a tremendous guy, you know, on and off the field. But, you know, as an athlete, guys, you just couldn't beat this guy. I mean, he could compete with anybody, you know, Bo Jackson type of guy. But he was huge, you know, at 19. I think I saw you at 15, 16. He was, you know, he was 6'4" and about 17 stone. So you're looking at about 250 pounds and just run like the wind, you know, 10.2 second 100 meters. Runner, just a fantastic athlete, but he passed away this week. So just wanted to say rest in peace, Jonah. You know, and great listening to the show, guys.
No doubt. I'm gonna come to you first on this one, Roger, and pass this one around the kitchen. Now, they say revenge is served best as a cold dish, right? Denver gets rid of John Fox, and everything is falling apart for the Denver Broncos. One, Peyton Manning is out. I can't think of the last time when he was in Indy his last season with the season-ending surgery, but before that, like in the midst of a season, while he still may have time within a season, I can't really think of Peyton Manning being out. He's out, as well as DeMarcus Ware. Do we start to see a losing streak trend for the Denver Broncos, let alone by their former head coach, and John Fox, or can Brock Osweiler lead this team to victory in Soldier Field? Your thoughts on the situation at hand?
I'm a Brock Osweiler guy. I mean, we touched on this in a week. I honestly think that he can come in and take over this ship. We even talked in a week about this being the last of Peyton Manning that we see. You know, it was a broken jaw, I think it was in Indianapolis, you know, when he changed his face guard is the last time I remember him being injured. But I don't know. I don't actually think he missed the game because of that, but I remember that was a bad injury for him. But, it's a thinker to think when he... Because he's underrated toughness, no doubt. I mean, like I said in the week, just very underrated toughness. I think Brock Osweiler, you know, he rides the ship and he keeps them afloat. They still have Von Miller. You know, they still got some good players. Chris Harris is an awesome slot cornerback and nickelback. A very underrated player who does a lot for them. Like defensively, they are sound. I think they'll be fine. I think Brock Osweiler ridership. My view on Brock Osweiler comes from, you know, the John Gruden ESPN shows. You know, where he put every quarterback of that class through his school, and I saw something in Brock Osweiler there that I didn't see in other quarterbacks. And I knew Denver had got a good one now, but just having sat down behind Peyton Manning with a clipboard now. Has helped him tremendously, I think, and I think he'll come in and do a job, and I think he'll get the win tomorrow. Sunday, sorry.
Okay, all right, yeah. Fair enough. Okay, I like that so far, Matt. Your thoughts on this situation? Do you think Brock Osweiler can be not only the former coach that he used to run with, but the former quarterback that used to run the show in Denver and Jay Cutler? Or can they start a winning streak up, or a losing streak, mind you, for the Denver Broncos, who were off to such a hot start of the season?
Believe it or not, the Bears are kind of hot. I think the Bears will probably beat Denver. I think Denver's in trouble. I think even with Peyton, they looked pretty bad last week. I mean, I don't know exactly the extent of the injury or how long he's out, but I think Denver's in for a tough time, and they got to play New England soon. And that won't be pretty.
Okay, and that's interesting that you throw that one in the game. I like that, man. I like that. Calling in by way of the state of California, people, I got the kitchen heating up. My big brother, breaking news, Brian Hughes, welcome back to the round table. How are you feeling this evening?
What is good, fellas? How you doing?
Hey, Brian, what's going on, man?
He was in the building.
The kitchen is on fire right now. The kitchen is on fire. I got a lot of brothers to feed. A lot of my brothers came back. I love it. Okay, so, Brian, I don't have to introduce. I know you are the football chef in here. So cook and eat at the same time.
Well, here's what I'll say about Peyton Manning. And Ty, you remember we had a conversation, me, you, Chandler, and Slim, I'm going to say about 4 weeks ago, and I said at that time, I said he's either injured or done. And it was kind of like blasphemy to talk badly about Peyton Manning. And I will say this, I personally, you look at Peyton Manning's stats this year, he's completing less than 60% of his passes. His average yards per completion is down over a yard over the last 3 years that he's been with Denver. Take that into consideration. Couple that with the fact that he leads the league in interceptions at 17. I think Brock Osweiler is actually an upgrade, guys, and I'm going to tell you why. The problem is that everybody in the NFL right now knows that Peyton Manning cannot throw the ball deep out, 20 yards out, and cannot throw the ball down the field. So everybody is stacking the box 20 yards from the line of scrimmage, and all those little quick hitters that we've seen in years past, all those bubble screens, you know, all those quick slip screens, they're not there. They are not there because there is zero threat of Denver's offense being able to vertically challenge anyone. That is the problem. Now, you put Brock Osweiler in, as Rodri mentioned, he can make all the throws. You're talking about a big physical kid that can make all the throws. You're talking about a guy that understands this offense. The only concern I have when you look at a guy like Brock Osweiler, guys, is the one thing that Peyton Manning has always been good at is limiting sacks. And you always wonder, for a first start, even though this kid is very familiar with the offense and what he's doing, keep in mind, this is a tweaked offense. This isn't Adam Gase. You wonder, will he hold the ball too long? Chicago is not known as a great pass-rushing team, but in order for them to be successful, he's going to need to get rid of the ball because they do not have a rushing attack that is going to allow them to make up for a 2nd and 12, a 3rd and 15. You're talking about teams knowing they're going to have to throw the ball.
Okay, I love this. I love this that we got in the kitchen. Chandler, I'll let you follow right behind the situation. Do you think John Fox could pull this off up against his former employer? Or do you think Brock Osweiler, like some people already are alluding to, can go into Soldier Field and steal this one?
Well, Jay Cutler is still a quarterback of Chicago Bears, and I still don't believe in Jay Cutler. And when the Chicago is supposed to win, it's usually when Cutler screws it up. But I think the kid's going to be better than people think. I think that he's going to throw a couple of interceptions because, you know, Gary Kubiak's offense seems to be a requirement, no matter where he is, be it Houston, be it here in Denver, that his quarterback throw interceptions because he's so stuck on his system. But, you know, I think that Peyton Manning doesn't get on the field as a Denver Bronco ever again.
I think if
Osweiler is decent, if he's just decent, okay, and they got a chop to win this game at the end, then Peyton Manning doesn't start another game. Because the excuse they can use if they lose is, well, he's playing against the coach and the best coordinator who knew his every move, his every thought, and he still almost won the game. How is he going to go against people who haven't seen him before? Because remember, there's no game film on this kid. There's no tape on him yet. So I think if Osweiler is just decent, Peyton is in trouble. If Oswald actually wins this game, Peyton Manning's done as a Bronco.
Look, and I'm going to tell y'all personally, I am not a Peyton Manning fan. I couldn't tell you that I could foresee this by week 11, that this could be the end of Peyton Manning's run in Denver. I don't really want to say career, even though it possibly can, especially watching Peyton try to make those passes downfield, and he can't get that plant or can't get that strength of the pass down the field. It's looking extremely questionable for Peyton, but I don't know if this is the end, my friend, while he's with Orange and Blue. I'll say that. Peyton, I'll show some love for you in the kitchen, even though personally I don't like you. I don't like you. Just your aura, but I respect you on the football field. I'm going to stick up for you. They throwing shots at you. Nas, your thoughts, and I'll go to Sirius after.
Yeah, this is a complicated situation, just because if Peyton is done in Denver, he's done for good. Like, that, this is the end. And it's kind of like the Kobe situation. Even if you are somewhat healthy, how effective are you? Like, he hasn't been good in a while. He has one really good game this season we can really kind of hang your hat on. So Osweiler walks into the situation, and maybe the running game improves, because that Kubiak system is based off that draw that they like to run with the quarterback, which Peyton kind of couldn't physically do because he wasn't a threat for the bootleg on the other side. That's a Kubiak staple. So maybe that play comes into the game now. And Kubiak and the running backs have to earn their keep. Like, they have to run the ball, treat Osweiler as a game manager, and allow that number one defense that they have to keep the game, you know, in a manageable way, and then figure out a way to win. But I don't think they're going to just dump everything on Osweiler and expect him to come out there and win the game. With that defense that they have, you know, there's no reason to take that kind of risk and to put so much on the young kid when you don't have another option. Like, this is it. So you need to protect him. So I think they'll be real conservative as long as they can keep Chicago from kind of going crazy as they've been doing, with Adam Gase kind of retooling Jay Cutler. As long as they can keep the game kind of low scoring, kind of slower, then, you know, they got a good shot to win a lot of games, because not many NFL teams can beat a team that doesn't turn it over and plays defense well. So I think we're going to see Osweiler play like Trent Dilfer to begin with, and they'll slowly open the offense up as the weeks go by. But I highly doubt that we see Peyton Manning coming back out there, man. The injuries are too much. He's an all-time great, and I really don't want to see him go out this way where he's begging to be on the field and still not effective throwing ducks.
Nah. Is it the end or no? Is this the end of number 18's run?
I say yes.
Oh, wow.
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 I can't believe we're having this conversation, guys. It's crazy.
Me neither. I can't. And I don't like Peyton. Personally, I talked to Chandler about this, and I talked to Brian about it. I am not a Peyton Manning fan. But I'm scared of him. Well, the old Peyton I'm scared of right now, he beat my Lions, so I can't even talk junk. Like, he beat the Lions, but still, yeah. Like, shoot, he got that football IQ. It's more physical now. It's the mental aspect of the game. It's taken away from him. We know what Peyton's seen in his career, but right now, physically, the demand is looking like it's a bit too much for him. Sirius, your thoughts, and then I'll go to Nacho.
You know, man, it's very unfortunate that we're having this conversation about, you know, Peyton Manning, but, you know, a little bit of nuggets for you gentlemen. They have the Chicago Bears this week, and then the next, the rest of their schedule is literally a gauntlet. You know what I'm saying? You got the Patriots after that. Then they're on the road playing San Diego. Then they're back home again versus the Raiders, who is a very much up-and-coming squad. Then they're in Pittsburgh playing the Steelers versus the Bengals, and they close out the season versus the San Diego Chargers. I can make a great point with this team wins two of those last few games, even with Brock Osweiler in the ballgame. You know, yes, Peyton Manning is hurt, and, you know, this, that, and the third, but at the end of the day, you know, what Brock Osweiler does not have is the skill set, you know, from the neck up. You know, Peyton Manning could not throw the ball as much as he wanted to and as well as he wanted to. But at the end of the day, You know, when the chips are down, I'd much rather have Peyton Manning in the ball game from an X's and O's schematic standpoint, because he's been able to diagnose what a defense has done and what a defense is able to do, and he's put his team in a position to win ball games on the offensive side of the football. But if you look at the opposing defenses and the offenses they're going to have to play on the stretch outside of this upcoming week against the Chicago Bears, you got Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton, and Phillip Rivers again. I'm sorry, no matter what the defensive statistics look like on the other side of the football, you know, you really want to have to score a point, in my opinion, to win these ball games. And, again, I know we don't have tape on Brock Osweiler and coming out, but at the end of the day, I'm not too sure the Denver Broncos could be in a world of hurt, you know, and it's pretty sad from a squad that was put as a preseason to be a premier team going into the AFC, maybe a plan for the AFC Championship and maybe a Super Bowl, the season in general, you know, going down like this. And it's kind of tough, you know. Again, no disrespect to Brock Osweiler, but he is no pain. You know, they make no bones about it. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think all eyes are going to be glued to the TV this upcoming week when they play the Chicago Bears. But, again, if you look at the rest of that schedule, man, it's not good if you're a Denver Broncos fan.
Serious, is it the end of Peyton's career?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, gentlemen. Everybody's saying yes. I would not be surprised if he's forced back in the action. I'll be honest with you. Just because he is who he is. You know, should he hang him up? I think we all can say yes. But again, look at the rest of the schedule. They got Chicago, New England, San Diego, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and San Diego again. Okay, the playoff picture is really going to start to take shape, you know, in about 2.5-3 weeks when they're sitting there on the road playing San Diego. If they lose to San Diego or Oakland, you know, it can be made that when they travel to Pittsburgh on the 20th of December, we could see 18. You know, it can be made that when they're sitting at home playing the Cincinnati Bengals, a rematch of what happened a season ago when they walked into Cincinnati and Cincinnati handed them their loss. Another loss, Peyton could be on the field in the season finale at home against the San Diego Chargers. That could be for division. That could be for playoff positioning. That could be for a plethora of things. I can make a case that, excuse me, that Gary Kubiak had Peyton Manning in the game. So I don't know. I think it's all going to predicate upon what happens with Brock Osweiler, but Peyton Manning's their franchise quarterback. He's the guy that, you know, the Broncos want to saddle up their ship and ride with. You know, so they're hoping maybe some weeks of rest or whatever to get them back feeling somewhat right. So I'm going to say I'll see 18 again before the season's on.
Okay. Nacho, your thoughts on this situation? Everything that's going on in Denver, especially around Peyton, DeMarcus Ware's not rolling to the game either. Do they build up a losing streak? And I'm going to spice this dish up a little bit better for you. Is this like a near perfect, because nothing's perfect, nothing is perfect, but is this a near perfect scenario / setup for New England to get knocked off and bring Peyton back in front of Tom Brady?
You know, they're going to win this weekend against Chicago. We'll get that out of the way. This defense is too good, and Jay Cutler is Jay Cutler. This defense alone will probably score 15 or 14 points. So this game for Denver, they're not too worried about it. I don't think Denver starts Peyton Manning again for the rest of the regular season. Brock Osweiler will finish the season, will finish these games. He will beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots with that defense. And he will have a tough time against Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, and he will have a tough time against Cincinnati. He'll win the rest of them. So this team is probably going to end the season at about 12-4. You know, maybe if they could sneak that Cincinnati win, 13-3. If they get the Cincinnati win, barring a crazy run again by Cincinnati, they could possibly end up tying Cincinnati at the end of the season, stealing that number two. Either way you slice it, Peyton Manning will play that playoff game, throw the game-losing interception, and he'll walk off in Peyton Manning fashion from this game. That's the way the season ends for Peyton Manning. I know Chandler is set on, you know, the 9 for 30 or what is it? I can't remember the completions, and 35 yards and 4 interceptions as Peyton Manning's everlasting, you know, whatever. To be honest, it's him losing in the playoffs because his ineptitude when it's crunch time or when it's clutch time, so to speak, in the playoffs. So I think Brock Osweiler is the answer to this organization's questions. The naysayers, the doubters will see. This is a guy that you know, got passed on, sat for 3 years, and realized and knows what this league is all about. This guy's a 6'8", 240 quarterback. He can run with the ball. So in those instances where, you know, these guys that you say can't gain separation, he'll be able to, you know, extend a play. He'll be able to either get out of the pocket and at least fall for 4 yards. The guy's 6'8", you know. He's going to be able to get you 3 yards on just falling. So he'll be able to move the ball, move the chains, and get this offense and this defense, for what it's worth, has been lights out all year. There's been some snippets where, you know, it doesn't look like itself, and that's, you know, whatever for attrition or as long as the season is. But this defense will stand the test of the season and get through the regular season and help the quarterback, Brock Osweiler, finish. But I have a lot of faith in the kid, the young man. He's going to be a good quarterback in this league, and there's no better situation for him to walk into, to be honest. He's got a number one defense. I mean, we can all be honest about that. They can, you know, you could possibly say the number two, but this defense can stop the run. You can man you all day. They can get pressure on the quarterback. They can almost do anything at will. And you know, when you have that as a quarterback, it's just always a great thing to have in the back of your mind. So I think this Brock Osweiler ends up, you know, maybe losing one, maybe two more games the rest of the season. I don't see the gauntlet or the hard, you know, tough test that's ahead of them, other than the three games at Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and New England. That's about it. But like I said, I fully anticipate that defense being able to stop just Gronk and Tom Brady.
Hey, Todd, can I add something real quick?
Well, of course.
Just remember, before the season, they asked Peyton Manning to take a pay cut, and he gave it up, which lets you know self-awareness. He knew where he was as far as in decline. And then they bring in Kubiak, who runs that system, which requires the quarterback to be a little mobile. So that lets you know that they were not only planning for the future, but they were planning for life without Peyton. And as great as he was, man, Father Time's got it all. You know, he's got it in the book for everybody, man. And the injuries have piled up. And that's the problem. This is not an indictment of Peyton Manning. This is just a guy who's endured so much, and he's hurt.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, we. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was going to talk a little, John. Go ahead.
No, just a quick comment. You know, unfortunately, we can't. You know, his resume can't play for him. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So he's going to hang it up.
Well, unfortunately, you know, they call me, you know, Father Time around here. So, you know, I've been winning a lot. You know what I'm saying? All across the sport world, I've been doing my thing. You know, they love using my name out there. But that's what it is. Well, Sports City, like I told y'all, I have an engagement to get to because me and Chill are enemies right now. That's right. I am the lone Thunder fan out here. I got to get out to a New York party, so I got to make it happen. But I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Y'all need to come back into this kitchen. I had a lot more stuff to get to, but we got a weekend worth of stuff to get to. I got the brunch to get a lot of this stuff out to. Also, college will be back tomorrow as well. Don't miss nothing, Sports City. Don't miss nothing. Y'all sit tight. Y'all sit tight. But I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. I'll start with you first. Breaking News Hughes, thank you for stopping by the roundtable. Brian, are you still there?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Halfway into my conversation, realized I was muted. I pulled a Sirius. so what? It's always a pleasure to talk sports with you guys. I was just sitting, and I'm sure you guys talked about this, but I was just sitting here thinking and wondering, you know, with David Ortiz contemplating retirement, will the baseball purists vote him in to the Hall of Fame as pretty much just a DH? That'll be interesting to see.
Taylor, I'll let you answer that. Yes or no, does David Ortiz get into the Hall as a DH?
Yes, the steroid-using David Ortiz gets into the Hall of Fame because he kissed up to the media.
Really? So he breaks the barrier of the steroid users.
Yeah, because they conveniently neglect to mention the fact that he was on that list, that he was on that list that came out. They conveniently neglect to mention that.
Wow. Okay. Interesting stuff. Y'all stay tuned. I like it. So that means A-Rod might have a shot, too. I'm just saying. Nas, I need a plug and close out from you. Thank you for stopping by the roundtable.
All I'll say is thank y'all for letting me come on to your platform. I had gotten down on sports radio. You boys gave me the energy back, and my podcast will be kicking back off again next week. Due to Sports City Chefs, man, much respect to y'all dudes. All of y'all are energetic. Y'all got the love for it, and it kind of brought it back in me. So mine will be kicking off again next week. Speak it like you think it radio, and I'll still be stopping in and hollering at y'all, man. But salute to y'all, boys.
Guys, look, Sports City, not only are the big ones eating in the kitchen, look at we got Nas getting his swagger back. I like it. I was taught each one, teach one. I was raised off that slogan. I was raised off of that slogan. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Simmons, I need a plug, close out, shout out. If we shut her down here at the roundtable.
Man, it's your boy Sirius, up and out 412 and the 703. Man, again, such a tremendous pleasure to be back in the building. I missed a couple weeks, man. I got a lot of stuff to get off my chest. I'm going to make this very short and sweet. Thank God Kevin McHale is out of Houston. I love that move. I needed that move. Jesus. I love that. I wish I'd be able to get on here yesterday to talk about it. Maybe I'm able to get in here on the punch. Who knows? But believe me, I love the move. Tomorrow, man, we got the Cotto fight, man. Love that. You know what I'm saying? If you can get in front of a TV pay-per-view, go catch that joint. Shout out to my homegirl, Ronda Rousey, for catching the roundhouse. Love her. I've been involved for 2 weeks, man. I've been missing the joint. Also, upset pick of the week, man. Stay tuned. I'm going to post that on Facebook tomorrow, man. It's your boy Sirius, man. I'm gone.
Okay. Oh, hey. Roger, I need a close-out shout-out from across the pond, big brother.
Hey, bro. Yeah, thanks, guys. When we like this, you know, man, when we're all together, you know, there's really nothing stopping us, I don't think, you know. We can go from strength to strength with all our minds and our energy and, you know, our contacts. And, you know, people, we've got what it takes, you know. You need to get with us because we're making it strength to strength week by week, day by day. Just glad I could come on, guys, and talk about Jonah Lomu. Google him, guys. I mean, he's an All Black. He's a New Zealand All Black. He's a legend in the rugby world. And just glad I was able to get on and talk about him. Brian, I was looking back at our draft analysts earlier this week and just listening to some of the stuff we was talking about. Man, it's good to see how these rookies are playing out. I really enjoyed that. And, you know, looking to do some sort of update for you guys. If we can get Brian in on that as well, that'd be fantastic. I'm just excited about coming out there now in the next few weeks. It's a big step in my life, you know, and coming out of that, to your great country is quite daunting with all that's going on, you know. But I'm up for it, and I'm on your side, and, you know, coming from over the pond, you know, we got a lot of respect for you and your sports, you know. I love your sports so much. it's taken on my life. You know, it is my life, and you guys are my friends. You know, I treasure each and every one of you. I just want to say that, and you know, got a lot of writing to bring to the show. I got a lot of writing to bring to the website, and I'm excited to bring it, man. And we'll see where we go from here, but I'm excited.
Well, see, I couldn't have said it no better. But I'll leave it to them, man. I'll leave it to them. Mr. Silver, I need a plug, closeout, shout out. If you shut it down, I'll see you tomorrow for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Oh, my goodness. Where to start? Okay. I can't remember who called out the fight originally. Get to a TV set. I'll go watch it. Don't pay for it, though. It's going to be a short fight. I'll tell you who's going to win it fast early tomorrow. But, you know, don't buy it. It's going to be early. It's going to be a quick sleeper. And, you know, we'll talk about that tomorrow, though. But, you know, Sunday's a big day. The Minnesota Vikings, they want to take over that division. You know, and the four-time running division champions, they stand in their way. A victory this weekend, and it sets up a great opportunity for the Vikings to run this division to their first title since, I believe, 08 or 09, and knock the Packers down a peg from what they've been able to do, which is dominate division over the past, you know, 10 years, 12 years, 20-some years, however long. It's been a while. But as soon as this game comes, it'll be a determining factor for this division moving forward. And then with the loser not being back, if the Green Bay Packers win, then of course they're both 7-3, and it looks to be a very heated race to the end. If the Minnesota Vikings win, it puts the Packers back at 6-4. It puts, you know, Minnesota up at 8-2. Then they really have to be thought about as one of the elite teams in the NFC at that point. So this is a really a make or break game for both teams. 2:25 Sunday. It's going to be a great game to watch. I truly anticipate it. But you know, other than that, man, tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken, Regan Dow is on the undercard. If I'm not mistaken. Because there's just not going to be too much of a main event, if you catch my drift. So, go green, white, and red. That might tip you a little. But, you know, it's going to be an early fight. So don't buy it. If you can avoid buying it, don't spend the money, because it's like Tyson almost, I feel. Other than that, man, it's going to be a great, great fight night. Great Sunday. And then Cincinnati, Arizona. Another great game for the weekend. So, man, it's just an action-packed weekend all around. And then we'll see if, you know, the Warriors can break the 15-0 to start the season streak, get to 16-0 by Monday. I think Monday or Tuesday it is. But it's going to be a great, great, great weekend for sports. I just anticipate the brunch to go off, and then especially the wrap-up on Monday. I expect to have so much fun. It's going to be amazing. So, thanks to everyone that comes in. Thanks to everyone that stops by. And, you know, it's just Nas. I'll be checking in on your show. I'll be calling in, and we'll be having some fun over there, too. In Sports City, you know, I love it here. So let's do this. And tomorrow, food fight. Oh, get ready. I think I'm going to make some people mad.
So I'm about, like, 15 minutes outside of the Bronx. Puerto Rico, oh, Puerto Rico, oh, Puerto Rico, oh, Puerto Rico, oh. Taylor, you're not my friend right now. I need a plug and close out, and you can leave the kitchen whenever you're ready.
Well, a 19-year-old that's still in high school I had a problem with, but J.R. Smith, I hope you get exactly what you deserve. Oh, by the way, Ryder is beating Maryland 38-29 right now. For all you people that told me, I know what the hell I was talking about when I said Maryland should have been ranked as high as they were. But while everybody was talking, I was looking up Jonah Lomu, and they called him a freight train in ballet shoes. I mean, this guy was so, I guess, integral to rugby and making it professional, a worldwide professional sport, that they're talking about holding a public memorial at a 50,000 seat stadium for this man. So as Rodri said, if you don't know who this man is, go look up, go Google him, man, because that's amazing that you would have a public memorial for an athlete and that you could hold it at a stadium that holds 50,000 people, and they'll probably fill the stadium, which says just how much athletes impact people's lives and how much sports impacts people's lives. Other than that, man, everybody had a lot of fun tonight. Todd, don't be mad when we smoke check your boys, and everybody have a good night.
I don't care. I'm not even buying into that with Sports City. I'm not. But I was, like I said, everybody, I was taught each one, teach one, and Rodri just taught not only Chandler but myself something. So I'm going to have to go look into this situation about this rugby player that just passed on. But I don't know too much about it, but at least it was brought here in the kitchen. If I hear it anywhere from ESPN, Fox, whoever wants to talk sports, I'm on y'all. I'm on y'all because y'all heard it here in the kitchen. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I got to get running. I got to get to this New York party because there's one seat left for me, and that's the Thunder fan about to roll through there. And I'm not listening to Chandler with that stuff because I don't like him for the next 2.5 hours. Go Thunder. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, this song is for you, Chandler. Now they know.
Break up. Now every day I wake up, somebody got a problem with hoes. What's up, y'all niggas all fed up, cause I got a little cheddar and my record's moving out the store. Young fuckers spitting at me, young rappers getting at me. My nigga Big predicted this shit exactly. More money, more problems, gotta move carefully. Cause faggots hate when you getting money like athletes. Young as ice grilling me, oh, you not feeling me? Fine, it costs you nothing, pay me no mind. I'm on my grind, cousin. Ain't got time for frontin'. Sensitive thugs, y'all all need hugs. Damn, no, mans, I'm just tryin' to do me. If the record's 2 mil, I'm just tryin' to move 3. Get a couple chicks, get them to try to do E. Hopefully, they're Menards before I reach my garage. I don't want much, fuck, I drove every car. Some nice cooked food, some nice clean drugs. Bird ass niggas, I don't mean to ruffle y'all. I know you waiting in the wing, but I'm doing my thing. Where's your love? Something to say. What's all the fucking fuck to